Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Wonderful morning. I love the songs because everything what we sang today, it's so deep in our theme. We are safe in Jesus Christ. We have an unshakable security. It's so great to be in His hand. It doesn't mean that bad things will never happen, but that He always will be with you and with me. Hold our hands and many times carry us in His arms. So let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. I read really slowly because it's so rich, this text. It's so powerful. And I hope God can really speak to your heart this morning. So Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all the things we are more than conquerors, through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think we can go home. In Romans 8, chapter 31 to 39, we reach the climax of what Paul had presented for us so far. It's interesting that when I was reading this week, I saw the whole Trinity work there. The whole Trinity is present in chapter 8. And the whole Trinity is work to ensure and keep our salvation. Our security is protected by the whole Trinity. In verse 26-27, we see that the Holy Spirit guarantees the eternal life. He secured us. Verse 26-27 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So we can see here, the Holy Spirit is present in our life. The Holy Spirit knows your weakness. And He intercedes for you. He intercedes for me. To keep us safe, to help us to grow. Holy Spirit intercedes. We can see here in verse 28 to 3rd that God the Father guarantees eternal lives. I will not... Okay, let's see. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestinated, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. God works for the good of those love Him. So we have the Holy Spirit because working you, because He knows your weakness. He intercedes for you. But you have God the Father too, who work for good in every circumstance of your life. Doesn't matter what's happened. He is work to make you day by day more and more like Jesus. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And the text here says, those God predestinate. By the way, if those God predestinate means some, or there is those that He does not predestinate. He also call and justify and glorify. It's God's work in your life, in my life. It's not because we deserve, but because of Jesus, because His love. So we see the Holy Spirit, we see God the Father. And now, verse 34, we see Jesus guarantees eternal life. Jesus died for us. Jesus loves us. Jesus intercedes for us. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life? Is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We have the Holy Spirit intercede for me and for you. We have Jesus interceding for you and for me. So Paul ends chapter 8 by asking 5 rhetorical questions. And maybe you don't know what this means. What is rhetorical? Okay? So a rhetorical question is one which is asked in order to make a statement rather than to get an answer. In other words, is Paul doesn't care what you will answer. He knows already. He knew. Okay? We don't need answer anything. He was... prove his point here. Paul here was not interested in our answer. He already knew what he was talking about. And behind these 5 rhetorical questions is a lot very deep theological statements here. The first question we see in verse 31 is, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's interesting that Paul doesn't ask here, who is against us? Because he knew. The devil is against us. The world is against us. You, Isaac, is against yourself. Don't be scared. Okay. Yeah, our heart are against us, ourselves. Because our old nature... our flesh, and they are, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, they are trying to separate us from God every single day. The question here is, if God is on our side, in our side, who can resist us? And the emphasis here is not on us, but it's on God. It's God who has the power. If the King and Lord of the universe is in our side, if He loves us, if He shows us, if He calls us, if He justifies us, if He already declared our glorification, we are victors on Him. But we need to understand one thing. That victory here does not mean a life without struggles. Victory here doesn't mean a life without pain, without suffering. But that God is present in every moment in your life. That God will help you go through that circumstance. 2 months ago, I found on the internet a booklet or an article from John Piper. And it was very intriguing article. The title was very powerful for me because the title was, "Don't Waste Your Cancer." This is the title. So I had cancer. So when I was like, wow, I need to read what John Piper is, will expand here. And I got that he had to go through a process on prostate check, something. And so in that moment of his life, he's okay. He was okay. But for that moment of life, he wrote this article. And in this article, you can find it on the internet, he writes 11 ways we can waste our cancer. Okay, 11 ways. Only John Piper can do that. 11 ways we can waste a cancer. And I just put two here. Two. He put like, okay, we waste our cancer if we seek comfort from our odds rather than from God. We waste our cancer if you seek comfort from our odds rather from God. This can happen with everybody. But it was so deep because it's true. In the moment of suffering, it doesn't matter if it's cancer, if it's a death or anything that happened. In the moment of suffering, we cannot run away from God. We need to run to Him. We cannot to be comfort by the odds of the science, of friends, of family, but you have to trust on God. Another thing he said was, we waste our cancer if you fail to use it as a means of witness to the truth and glory of Christ. I remember that when I had cancer, I was 24 years old, 25, 3 months before our marriage. And I told you here before, I was in a seminar, and we don't have, like, for that time, internet, so I call her, because she was preparing our wedding. I call her to say, to break up. Because in my mind, it's better leave a single than a widow. This was in my mind. And when I call her, she said to me, "Marcus, if you will live for 3 months, we will marry, and we will be happy for 3 months." And usually I make jokes with her. I say, "I don't know if you are in love or you are so desperate." Yeah, but I'm here for, we are 23 years old, 23 years of marriage. Praise the Lord that. But, yeah, that moment there was so terrible for me. I was 25 years old. But I confess you, I was not mad with God. I just have my time where I had to stop and cry and say, "God, I don't understand, but help me to go through." I have a good friend that's even here, when I was sick in pain, and I was depressed, in my way to be depressed, and this my friend said to me, Marcus, while God has a purpose for us to live, we are immortals. While God has a purpose for us to live, we are immortals. This, I don't know for you, but this helped me so much. It's so simple, but it's true. But if God is for us, who can be against us? No one, nothing. Because He is beside you. He is beside. It doesn't matter that you not feel pain. That doesn't mean that you not suffer. But God will be with you, with me. The second question here is, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? The idea presented here by Paul is, if God gave us His best when we were still sinners, imagine now that you are their children. This, they will give Him much more. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is working in your life, my brothers, my sisters. Don't look for yourself and see your frustration, your failures, and say, no, I'm lost. I don't have. No, God is working even through your failures to help you to grow. God gave His Son for us, and Jesus gave Himself a sacrifice for our sins. Who do you think delivered Jesus to death? Who do you think? Do you think it was Judas for money? Do you think who delivered Jesus to death was Pilate for fear? Do you think that who delivered Jesus for the death was the Jews because of envy? No. God the Father gave, delivered for our sake. Third question. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Verse 33. The idea here is that no accusation can be made against you. Against me. No accusation. Because Jesus Christ, our lawyer, defended us. Because God, the judge, has already declared us righteous. And I love that. You know, because it's like we have here a judge, a court. Imagine that, okay, Isaac, I'm sorry, I will make you every time. Okay, because, okay. So, imagine we are here in a court, and the devil come and say, oh, look, Isaac, very bad boy, do you know? And Jesus, but Jesus is the lawyer, imagine. And the lawyer said, do you know, you shut up. You cannot say nothing about Isaac because Isaac believed in me and I gave my life for him. And God the Father is here, hey, psst, obey my son. Shut up too. I already declare Isaac, he is righteous because of Jesus. So, go to hell. There is no accusation. Accusation that there is no power against us. Not because of you, Isaac. But because of Jesus. And because the God the Father, he is the judge who guarantees. Our sins have already been forgiven. Our debt has already been paid. And the righteousness of Christ has already been credited to our account. This is real, absolute, and unchangeable fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Fourth question. So, for this question, who will bring any charge against those who God chosen? No one. Nothing. Paul knew already. Fourth question. Who then is the one who condemns? Verse 34. The world, the devil, our heart, try to accuse us every day. But this accusation, there is no effect because of four things. First, the death of Jesus Christ in our place. Jesus died for you. He suffered the punishment that we deserve. Jesus suffered the wrath of God in our place. Second, the resurrection of Jesus. Death could not hold Jesus in a grave. And this guarantees our justification. The resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee and the model of our resurrections. The same thing that happened with Jesus, this will happen with us. Third, the authority of Jesus. Jesus is in a position of authority at the right hand of God the Father. So our salvation not depend on us, depend on Jesus' authority. And because of that, we are safe, we are secure. Jesus is above all principality and spiritual power. So doesn't matter, the whole hell can raise against us. We don't need to be afraid. Because it's Jesus who justifies us. Remember, our salvation do not depend in our ability to obey God, but in the power of God to preserve us. Remember that. Fourth, the intercession of Jesus. Jesus is our legal representative before God. We do not need to represent ourselves before God. Jesus is there. And because of that, there is no power in accusation from anything. Fifth and the last one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer we know already. Nothing. Nobody. The idea presented by Paul here is that no problem, situation, adversity, any human or celestial being can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. He says that in all this, we are more than conquerors. Maybe I need help for some English speakers here. It's because in Greek, the word here in Greek is hypernikomen, okay? In Portuguese, we have, it's close, very enough. But in English, if you are literal, it's hyper winners. I think that doesn't have no use for this word. But literally, is in Christ, we are hyper winners. And they translate for like more than conquerors. In other words, we always win because of Jesus. But don't think, because we are humans, is so, when you see the word victory, when you see about winner, automatically your mind is, I never will be sick. I never have be frustrated. Never. Do you understand what I mean? There is a theology around years and years ago. They said because of Jesus, it's almost I call the credit card Jesus. You know, because Jesus, I can just, okay, I always will be a new house, a new car, because I'm the son of the king. So, yeah, he has the gold and silver. So, it's pushed too much. Okay, but it's not about that. You need to understand the victory here. It's It's about that relationship. It's about be alive with Christ. It's about that one day you will be in heaven, and there will not be pain, suffering, nothing bad will happen there. Even the sin that is crushing you every day will not be there. This is our victory. This is our victory. Paul's firm conviction is that neither the crisis nor the misfortunes of life, nor the supernatural powers, nor any creature, no matter how much they try, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know what you are going through right now. Maybe you are very sick. Maybe, I don't know, if somebody here suffers with a cancer, I don't know. Or you lost somebody very close. Or you lost a job. I don't know what is going through your heart, but God knows. I just want to say to you, this God is with you if Jesus is in your life. Because this is what He promised. I will not say with you that God will be with you and God is with you if you don't have Jesus. Because to be with God is be with Jesus. If you don't have Jesus in your life as your Savior and Lord, you don't have relationship with God, the Almighty. So it's all related. So it doesn't matter what is going through. First of all, I say, you need Jesus, you need God. Don't go far from God. It's the moment you go to Him. Go to Him. So, takeaways. Chapter 8 of Romans emphasizes two main ideas. And the first one is, there is no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about. Nobody can condemn you. The world, the devil, the whole hell, even your own heart. I know, many times I condemn myself. I remember things that I did. And I love this song when the psalmist say, you know, God put your transgression as far from east from west. This is God. And another part of the Bible said that God put under the ocean, in the deep of the ocean there. The problem is us that sometimes get our own boats and try to go there and fish our memories for the bad things what we did. We go there. But God did not remember. It's about us. So there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Second, is he ends the chapter to say nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. So nobody can condemn us. And nobody can separate us. God is here. You are sleeping now. I hope not. Okay. God, nobody can condemn us. Nobody can separate us. But on our spiritual journey, we need to understand we will go through many valleys of struggles, conflicts, suffering. But in Jesus, we have the guarantee of victory and that we will arrive in our heavenly home. Yeah, it's a journey. And during the journey, will be times of suffering. Will be difficult times. But Jesus is holding your hand, is holding my hand, and He is the guarantee with the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and that we will be and we will arrive there. And I will finish with these verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Dear Lord, praise be your name. Thank you for the unshakable security we have in you, Lord. We praise you, we love you. In our hearts belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.